Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Probably still get relegated. No, but seriously, a really good result for us. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday, the 14th of February. I'm Jules Freak.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Sorry if you got confused there and thought Frank Lampard was presenting the Ramble today. It was, in fact, to me, myself and I, Jules Breach, here
and
with
scene.
Pete and Jim. Yeah. What a weekend of football. Some surprise results in there, would you say?
Sort of, yeah.
Are we getting less surprised about Newcastle winning?
Yeah,
Pete?
I think that's it, isn't it?
That form table does not lie.
No.
What a weekend. And we are here back to go through all of the results with you. And Pete has come dressed in his Valentine's Day jumper. Yeah.
Come get me, everyone. Have a slice of Valentine's pie.
You are in romantic red, aren't you?
It's quite hot, actually. I might have to take it off.
Like a big heart.
Which is an improvement on last week's performance with you two guys, where my face went red and big because of some dust.
Dusty jumper.
Dusty jumper.
Gave you an allergic reaction.
Oh, dusty jumper, Donaldson.
Have you washed this one?
I've washed this one, and so it's fine.
This love jumper is fine.
You smell slightly better.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
You feeling romantic today, Pete?
Yeah.
Fine roses and flowers.
Got some flowers from my partner, yes.
Have you?
In good time, I might add. yeah. late last night. Thanks, Interflora Gold. You're the best.
Glad she doesn't listen to Ramble.
No.
Because otherwise she would know that...
No doubt some effer will tell her.
Like me.
Yeah, you've literally got her to the number.
Oh, Jim, how was your weekend? Nice to not have Arsenal playing, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, it was brilliant for Arsenal, wasn't it? We didn't even need to do anything, and it's been great for
and
us.
Now your favourite's
so
the top
may
four.
It continue. See, that I feel less comfortable about.
All
it makes
that.
Me feel nervous.
No one wants it.
I feel like every few days there's a new favourite for top four, and when Arsenal don't play, they become favourites for it.
Because there's so much football left to go. Like, so it feels like we're closer to the business end than we actually
are. Everyone's getting excited about the Club World Cup and top four, and Man City are going, we'll just win this in April.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, making it boring. Well, look, let's start off with the relegation picture with some of those results that affected the bottom of the table. And we'll start off with Frank Lampard and his Everton side beating Leeds by 3-0. Mm. We were taking the mickey out of his post-match press conference, which just really did crack me up because you could tell that he was so delighted. It was his first home game in charge in the Premier League. Obviously, he won his first home game in the cup against Brentford. But this being his first home Premier League game in charge, an amazing reception for them. And you could tell he was just absolutely buzzing with it at the end. But he then remembered, actually, there's still a long way to go. And let's not get too carried away here. But it was actually quite refreshing to see that.
Yeah, totally.
Very funny.
He's punching the air for the first goal, for crying out loud. Yeah, jeez.
But I think what's really interesting about it is that when he came in, he made a lot of noise about, you know, what is expected at Everton and the sort of how the crowd get behind the team. It's, just, you know, it's a noisy, noisy place. They expect a minimum effort and a certain type of football. And he's immediately delivered on all of that. Like they properly controlled this game and set the agenda in it. And they weren't doing that under Benitez.
They weren't doing that in midweek against Newcastle, to be honest. They were atrocious at Newcastle.
True.
So but, they were way more ferocious this time around.
But I feel like he's convinced them that they can actually just go out and set the agenda in a game themselves rather than kind of be a little bit cautious and worry about what the opposition might do, which I think has been the problem for them for most of the season, which is when any club plays like that, it's frustrating to watch for the fans.
I mean, that's the story of the Premier League this year. Like players and teams who want to sort of force their own agenda usually do quite well, I would say. I think last season was all about kind of doing everything without the ball, inviting pressure and stuff like that and just dealing with it. But I think this time around, people who really go out to win football matches do all right.
Yeah. We're actually winning.
I think
what was more impressive about the win for me was that Leeds came into the game off the back of that game midweek where they looked back to a kind of Leeds that we've kind of been excited to see a bit more of this season that we haven't seen enough of. And of course, Leeds have really struggled with injuries this campaign. But I think that's what made the Everton victory even more impressive is that I think we're probably expecting a bit more from Leeds, but Everton managed to really just shut them up, really.
Yeah, just close it all off.
And they were having shots. They were having shots. 21 shots, which is the most Everton have had in 78 league games.
Wow.
And they scored 2 first half goals for the first time in forever. Like, they just haven't been doing that.
It was all
about
Bielsa. It's bouncy. It was all about Bielsa for me this match, though, to be honest, because it was just like he once again, like you said, at midweek they looked pretty good and they looked like they were back to their attacking Leedsy best. But this was a similar sort of model. He refuses to sort of be pragmatic and he's got a one size fits all or two size fits all plan of attack, and it is just all about attacking and it is just all about fitness. And when you come up against a team who's a little bit cuter, they don't do very well. And so I don't think Bielsa's going to be here. By the end of the season, I think he might walk. I think they're having a really spotty season, and if they're not very careful, they're going to be in really, really big trouble. But you as a Premier League chairman, as a Premier League owner of a club, you can't expect to put in, I think it's the second bottom wage bill in the whole of the Premier League, and expect anything better than that. So as soon as Bielsa does go, they're going to be in even bigger trouble and may find themselves in trouble in the Championship. I don't know. It's been a weird season for Leeds.
Yeah, I think the substitutes were a bit odd as well. Weren't
they? Rafinha coming off
just made everyone a bit confused. And I think we were all sort of waiting after the match to sort of find out, oh, did he get a bit of a knock? Like, is he, you know, just maybe mentioned to the manager that he's not feeling quite right? But nothing really came out of that.
No, it's weird, isn't it? He looked really moody in the second half on the bench, but then regardless of the reason he's come off, you're probably going to look like that anyway. So, yeah, I hope it's not some sort of mad decision by Bielsa where it will alienate him. And
he's already an alien. he's the most alien manager, you would say. He's very solo.
It's intriguing to know what might happen, because I think quite often what happens with Bielsa in any of his managerial roles is because he doesn't often sign long-term deals. Mm. So he's on this 12-month contract and it runs out at the end of the season. So usually around this kind of time when you're getting, you know, 3-4 months away from it, there's always little rumours about who might come in next. And then he sometimes tends to renew his deal and then stay for another year. So it's intriguing to know what might happen. I mean, Pete thinks it could be before the end of the season. He could walk.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be surprised if he left during a season, I have to say, Pete. I know. Also, they love him, so I would be surprised if...
Because he gives the wage bill right down. But this is his team that he assembled. It's not like he's kind of inherited, like, you know, the square pegs of the round holes, that he's putting players in that don't fit in that position, and he just believes the system above everyone else's skills. And they're not having a great season as a result, in my opinion. So this is his team. He has got a huge amount to say about the transfers and stuff like that. They were offered, weren't they offered like Van der Beek and stuff like that? And he said he didn't really want them and stuff like that. Like, he's a very interesting manager, but when it goes wrong, it really goes wrong.
Well, how wrong is it at the moment? Because they've been sucked into it now, Jim, haven't they? That win for Everton means they're only a point behind them, and we've all been talking about Everton being in a relegation scrap. So are Leeds now in it?
Leeds, I mean, they're 6 points away from Norwich, aren't they, who are in 18th. So I think they will be okay. It's tempting to think that the bottom three are just going to be the bottom three, you know. I think that we could see a situation where everybody pulls away from it. Yeah, this is it, isn't it? But I think the issue with Leeds and Bielsa is that they are so caught up with his identity and vice versa at the moment. And you know, him bringing back their Premier League status is such a huge, huge thing that even if this season is a little bit underwhelming, I don't know if they would rush to fire him. I think it actually might be more likely that he would leave for a new challenge, just purely because we know that he gets itchy feet and it's been the pattern throughout his career. But I don't think Leeds are in much trouble. I think they will be fine, to be honest. I do think we're going to have quite a dull relegation scrap this year. I think that's what it's going to come down to, unfortunately. I do wonder, though, is this game a bit of a false kind of reflection of where... or a false picture of where both of them are? Because do we know that Frank Lampard wasn't just hiding in a bush with some binoculars watching the Leeds training as revenge?
Ah, very good. What was your favourite of the three Everton goals? I think mine was Anthony Gordon actually claiming that that's his... I mean, to be fair, he didn't claim it, but it was awarded to him in the end because the ball comes off him. But if you're Richarlison, you're absolutely fuming with that. Like, hang on a minute. I've done all the bloody hard work there.
Yeah. Anthony Gordon, you know, I mentioned him last week, though, but he looks a hell of a talent.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good young player. Seamus Coleman as well got on the score sheet, and when he celebrated, gave Richarlison a massive kiss on the cheek.
Yeah. Valentine's Day kiss.
Valentine's Day, isn't it? Yeah.
A little bit of love in that Everton squad. There does seem to feel like the sort of mood has been lifted. They all seem a lot happier. I mean, that's going to happen when you win, but there seems to be a lot more of a togetherness now, and the crowd seems so up for it as well, didn't they?
Massively.
Yeah.
Yeah, and decent. I mean, but that makes a huge, huge difference, doesn't it? And obviously, Donny van der Beek and Dele Alli are two players that need to feel wanted and need to feel part of something. And actually, the timing of this, it seems like it's all kind of coalescing together at the right time to sort of push them in a positive direction.
Mm. As for Newcastle, a massive 3 points for them as well. They beat Villa by a goal to nil. That's now three wins in a row for Newcastle. It's not a surprise anymore, is it, Pete? It's not surprising to see Newcastle winning. It's the first time they've got three consecutive league wins since the glory days under Rafa 2 years ago.
Was it really that long ago?
2018, actually. Four years.
That's what you feel like 2018 is like 2 years ago, don't you? It's weird. I mean, that's what squad competition gets you. Bruno Guimaraes on the subs bench coming on for like 3 minutes at the end to just keep
ball. Tidies up at the end.
Just to tie up at the end. It's hilarious because, like, Willock's playing to his relative skill set out of his skin, and we've got Jonjo Shelvey tracking back and tackling with a captain's armband on. Like, that is what having a £40 million footballer on the bench does for the rest of the team. They want to maintain their time in the side,
so
they're playing really well.
I watched the game with a couple of my girlfriends and found out a fact about Jonjo Shelvey, which you may both already know.
Okay.
He's married to a girl who was in S Club Juniors.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Do you remember S Club Juniors?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
There we go. That's my fun fact for the day. Back to the football, though. When that Well, it was awarded as a penalty initially, wasn't it, for Newcastle? VAR looked at it, said it was outside the box. Mm. Kieran Trippier stands
scored
up.
Scored it anyway.
You're thinking, like, surely not two games in a row. And then he does it.
I know, right?
Because he's Trippier.
It's like, for
and
me...
And he's so good.
This is just Newcastle losing their soul, isn't it? Jonjo Silva shall be tracking back. What the hell is this, Pete? Having you're a, not Newcastle anymore.
A competent right back. Sorry, Emil Kraft came on after he got injured. And it's just, I said, oh yeah, I remember this. Yes, yeah. We've been inviting pressure on ourselves. But Aston Villa, very wasteful with the dead balls in the first half and just looked a little bit listless in the second half. I think the enforced medical break for someone in the stands, you know, I've spoken about that at length on previous matches, really helped Newcastle because Villa were in the ascendancy and that just kind of really broke up their momentum a little bit. But seeing Steven Gerrard at the back end of that match just sort of slumped in his chair, I was really surprised that kind of figure he cuts when it's not going all Villa's way.
It's really interesting thing for Newcastle. It's similar to Everton, isn't it? You get the sense that they are just really having fun and that they've suddenly really relaxed, the shackles are off, etc, etc. I think, like, you know, I'm convinced Newcastle will stay up and it will be sooner rather than later that they're pull away from the drop zone. But like,
keep Lascelles away from the side and keep Big Dan B in centre back. Good God, he was brilliant.
BDB. Big Dan Burn, my guy, who's now your guy.
So good.
Did well, didn't he?
He's both of our guys, I think.
On his debut. What I loved about his whole performance yesterday was he's just so calming in that defence, isn't he? He just brings that, he brings that presence, his 6'7" presence. You can't miss him. But he's just so calm on the ball.
Yeah.
And you can tell that just with him in that back line, everything just felt a lot safer. It felt steadier. And what I also loved is that he was so happy to be playing.
Yeah.
He was just so buzzing about it. And, like, you know, it's his boyhood club. It's a move that he probably one day hoped he would get. And now he's there. And
dream debut.
It's just lovely.
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it?
He's just a top guy as well. Mm. Top boy. I need to say top boy. He's a top boy.
Top boy.
But I think it's going to be really, really fun to play for Newcastle in the near future. And that sort of, you know, that is what the vibe of the club is about in the best days.
I have my best fun when I've got loads of money in the bank.
They have been fun, haven't they? They've been about players like Alan Saint-Maximin. And like the ingredients for that are already there. It's going to be... It is so interesting, like the psychological difference between now and even a few weeks ago.
Honestly, it took me back to the noughties, carrying a Shaw Ramiobi up top. Beautiful.
Few things just to bring you back down to earth, though. Right. Kieran Trippier might have broken his foot.
Yeah, that's not ideal, is it?
I don't know if it's actually been released yet what the outcome of that hospital trip was, but apparently he was seen left leaving on crutches, which doesn't sound
not ideal.
Too good.
He's really good, but I do think him just being around the club helps. You know, so maybe his radius of influence doesn't have to kind of start and end with everything he does on the pitch, because the way that he kind of, with the captain's armband and with Lascelles, obviously, I think he fell ill just before kickoff. He's just such a calming influence and kind of like, he stares right into your soul and tells you what to do and stuff like that. And he's not a big guy either. He's not like physically impressive.
Standing next to Dan Burn, he looked my height.
It's like me or you, Jules, telling people off. Like, you do that and you do that.
I don't know, Vish is pretty scared of me when I tell
him. Vish is tiny as well, isn't he?
Tiny little Vish.
Chris Wood as well, he's not had the best time.
He's had three fucking stinkers, Jules. Yeah. Say it how it is. Fantastic. I have never seen... Newcastle have had some stinkers in their time, but this is wonderful. Like, proper Amiobi, yes. He won a few aerial battles, which, I mean, you have to at that height, but yeah, he's...
How tall is Chris Wood?
He's quite tall, isn't he?
He's got to be
6'4", isn't he? 6'4".
Yeah.
I think he's 6'4", isn't he? I thought
6'4",
he was Chris Wood.
That's actually
quite lanky, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We're Googling it. We're finding out how tall Chris Wood is. The only trouble is when you put it into Wikipedia, Jim,
meters.
It comes up in metres.
Bloody metres.
Who the hell
uses metres?
No one
meters?
Wants to know how many metres tall someone
is. Because it's not impressive being 1 metre or 2 metres. It's not like, unless you're 3 metres, it's not impressive.
Well, according to Google and translating that, it's...
I gave you time there.
6.003937 feet. So,
I thought he was 6 foot. I thought he was 6'4". Sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. I presume everyone over my height is 6 foot.
And look, we talked about the day of love, haven't we, Pete? Hmm. And it seems just appropriate while we're talking about Newcastle that we talk about the man who was born on the day of love, K. Kevin Keegan.
Big yeah. Kevin Keegan.
It's his 71st birthday today.
Come on. Aww. Many happy returns, Keggy.
What
he loves you.
So typical, isn't it?
What? Yeah.
It's his birthday, but he's also got to sort out Valentine's Day. The amount of times he'd have forgotten that.
Oh, God, can you imagine? I've set fire to the house.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I've seen they've moved because the Alan Shearer statue wasn't technically on Newcastle United property. So one of the first things they've applied to the council to move it onto Newcastle United property because obviously Alan Shearer was frozen out of the club after he left and had a fall.
Did they? What, they moved the statue?
I believe the statue got installed, possibly off. I don't know, but either way, it wasn't on property.
Ran
on,
off celebrating
Newcastle,
a goal.
Newcastle property.
Not having this.
And now it's going to be moved onto Newcastle United property. So maybe a Kevin Keegan statue can't be far behind.
Oh, can we have That'd him like great. Barbecuing meat? After his summer quotes
summer
from the
mate,
meat
yeah.
industry was. Did I tell you about the time that in Jamaica, when I lived out there when I was a kid, Kevin Keegan was at the breakfast buffet?
Nice.
Yeah,
was he eating meat? Was he eating steak for
probably.
Breakfast, steak and eggs?
I don't
probably.
Remember it, but my dad did go over and ask for a photograph.
Oh, lovely.
Your dad, Stephen Gerrard.
My dad, Stephen Gerrard and Kevin Keegan.
Yeah, happy birthday, Kevin. There is absolutely no chance you're listening to this. There's probably no show on earth he avoids more, but still.
Elsewhere in the relegation picture, the mighty Seagulls beat Watford 2-0. Soz about that. They are 19th place. They haven't scored a goal under Roy Hodgson yet. He's had three games in charge. It started okay with that clean sheet against Burnley, and then it's all gone a little bit rubbish
I mean,
since then.
You legit might have one or two games left. This is
Don't
Watford.
Say that. Oh, I mean, we were just too good. And you know what? I think probably the worst thing for Watford is that Brighton actually weren't even at their best. Like we were all right. We were pretty good.
Well, Lamptey was back from a pretty horrific, as hamstring injuries go, a pretty bad one. And Watford's plan was just to kick the crap out of it.
Could have
got a couple of yellow cards, right? Yeah.
Oh, he was like, you know what? I'll just tee Neil Mopay up with this lovely ball into the box. What a
goal that was. He's one of those players, Mopay, isn't he? Where he like will kind of underwhelm for a bit and then just score an absolute screamer. Mm.
You know what? I feel like... Well, he's on track to have his best goal scoring season in the Premier League. He scored 8 for us in the whole of last season. He's already at 8 now. I think he scored 10 in the season before that. And yeah, I feel like he does. It's hard for Brighton fans because obviously we always say, oh, you know, we'd love to have a top class striker that can play in there with him. And obviously Danny Welbeck's great, but he can never stay fit for a consistent run of games. And he's only just come into the side as well. But with Neil Mopay, that means he then gets criticised because we create so many great opportunities. And as you say, sometimes it's like the easier ones that he tends to miss. And then he goes and scores these sublime goals like he did against Watford. But actually, his work rate goes so underappreciated. When he's not in the side, I think we miss him so much. Like the work he does off the ball, his movement is so impressive. He creates space for other players. And actually, I think he's one of those players that tends to get under the skin of opposition fans and players.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will call him a bit of a shithouser. And when you've got a player like that in your team, you love it. When you're in opposition to that, you hate it. So I absolutely love him. I think he's just been really solid for us this season. And you know, that goal, which was a great finish, and then obviously Webster scoring the second, means Brighton are now on their best unbeaten run in the Premier League. 7 consecutive matches unbeaten, which is a record for us. I'm not trying to get too carried away here, but it is quite an exciting time.
Yeah, you're quietly having a really, really strong season,
we're
right?
We're like 3 points behind Spurs. I know they've got games in hand, but that's ridiculous for us.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
how are we there?
They've only got one game in hand, and that's against Man City. So.
Yeah.
You'd get him over with goal difference after that, you imagine.
I mean, if we can even, like, you know, finishing top half of the table this season would be unbelievable for us. And I think we're on track for that.
I guess you've been in the Premier League long enough now that you do seem like part of the furniture, so it doesn't seem that surprising. But you're not, this first season, you've not really flirted with relegation at all, right?
Every single year we've been fighting to stay up. Even when we've gone on good runs and kind of been a bit above it, we always seem to get dragged back into it towards the end of the campaign.
Looking at like Forest's performances and Brighton's, is there an argument to say that Chris Hughton should join your club and then leave it immediately?
you get that
Hughton bounce.
We'll see what happens, but I'm feeling pretty happy right now. And by the way, how cute was Graham Potter? He wore a suit and tie to the Watford game out of respect to Roy Hodgson.
Oh, come on.
It looks slightly too big. Like, did I imagine that?
Yeah.
I got off the peg on the way. Yeah, Boxy's exactly right.
Just so cute. for Watford, though, are we worried? Do you think that... You said a minute ago, Jim, when we were talking about the other two sides, that you feel like it's them three that mm-hmm. are...
Yeah, I think they're toast. The three of them are
Pete, any optimism for any Watford fans?
I agree. They look well organised, but they just don't score enough goals. Which is true for a lot of sides.
At least Hodgson has been talking about Elton John. He had a phone call with him earlier mm-hmm. this week, which is one of the benefits when you go and manage Watford. You get to talk to the great man himself.
God, Elton John himself must be like, this again.
another fucking manager for me to talk to. he said, the word legend is used a little bit too often these days, but if you really want to talk about someone who is a legend, then Elton John would be one of few. He said, the man is a legend. Nikita, Sacrifice, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, as his favourite songs of Elton John. Have you got a favourite?
No.
Candle in the Wind, obviously. Jeez.
You reckon?
That one.
Yeah, not a fan, personally.
You're not a fan of Elton John?
Are you on big drugs? I don't like Queen, Eggs or Elton John, and I just don't like those things, and
hang on a minute.
He's tossing in Queen as well.
Yeah.
And eggs.
None of those things are for me.
What have you got wrong with eggs? Are you spooked out by them?
Yeah, but
we've had this conversation so many times. They taste of egg.
I know, it's so versatile.
I like
go to work on an egg, they say. That's why you're so ill-tempered all the time.
What about like the runny yolk dripping all over your toes?
Yeah, I'm not loving that. I thought you were going to say toes then. I thought, you egg people are weird.
What's your policy on frog spot?
But look, if something else tastes of egg, everyone goes, oh, it tastes of egg. Why doesn't that apply to eggs?
No.
All eggs taste of egg.
No. Do people say that?
It sounds like Jim says it in a stand-up, because that sounds like material, mate.
Smells like eggs. Smells like eggs you wouldn't want.
Yeah, they smell like eggs. Yeah.
Well, smell and taste are closely linked, aren't they?
Eggs don't actually smell like
eggs. Eggs don't really taste of anything.
No, it's rotten eggs.
Eggs don't smell or taste of anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm the weird one.
Rotten meat. Kevin Keegan's broken freezer.
On that note, we'll take a break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Major problems with it. For me, looking at that video, that cat hadn't done anything wrong.
Just Good God.
Oh, my God.
What a quote. Fantastic. Sunus, what are you doing?
Oh, God. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, guys. It is Monday, and that means it's time to see how we got on in Betway's 4-to-score. Remember, entry to Betway's 4-to-score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win our weekly £50,000 jackpot. And make sure you make your selections and submit them before the first game. Terms and conditions do apply. Right, our first match to pick from this week was Burnley against Liverpool, and Marcus picked Mo Salah, which was a good shout. Mo Salah did start the game, but the result was Fabinho, who, by the way, just seems to keep scoring at the moment.
Loves it.
Game two was Newcastle against Villa. Andy picked your boy, Average Allen, St. Maximin. and the result was, of course, Trips. Kieran Trippier with that free kick, which was deflected, but we'll give it to him. Tottenham Wolves.
Give it to Anthony Gordon.
Yeah, Tottenham Wolves was the third game. I picked Harry Kane purely based on the fact that at the time I picked it, he was in my fantasy team and I captained him. By the time the deadline came around, I changed it and Harry Kane no longer was in my team, which was a good call. Despite all that, Raul Jimenez scored first. It didn't matter anyway. And the final game was Leicester against the West Ham, and Luke picked Jared Bowen and spelt Jared wrong, by the way, when picking it. And the result was Jarrod Bowen, spelt with an O, not an E. Jarrod Bowen scoring again. Luke was the only person that got that one correct for us this week. So hopefully you guys did better. We'll be back for another round of 4-to-score on the preview show this Friday. But now it is time for this.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tit. Andy might just read up one in show at footballramble.com. Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
Got a cracking email from Peter. Pete here. Listener
of
Pete the Tit. He can also be a tit.
Pete at the breast.
Listener of many years and shamefully only now emailing for the first time. Good to have you along, Peter. But when I heard that Arbroath got a mention last week, as a Scotsman, I felt compelled to let you know about the content goldmine you've been missing out on. Arbroath manager, Dick Campbell. This man is nothing short of comedy gold. And despite potentially getting the part-time club promoted to the top flight, his best moment this year will undoubtedly be the interview he gave this week, which really has it all. During it, he remembers the time he got a 5-game suspension against Airdrie for not realising he had left his technical area. It wasn't until he got home when his wife told him he was actually in the opposition keeper's box shouting, "You, you bandit!"
Wow!
you bandit! When summoned to the SFA for a disciplinary hearing, he told the officials, "If you think that's 50 yards, you can measure my carpets any day." To top it all off, he was also sat at the stands during the match where opposition fans started to throw pies at him, to which he proceeded to catch and munch every single last one of them.
Yeah, fair play.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. It's little wonder why his Twitter page is dedicated to his gaffes and makes the fairy tale season the club is having all the more endearing. I'm confident this magnificent beast can yet join the ranks of Sven and Fizzer. Get him on the list. He's already there for my money. In the opposition
already
Peter
there.
Box, remonstrating with the goalkeeper, you bandit.
Brilliant.
your bandit is such a good insult.
Good.
Right. Scottish insults are the best in the world.
Yes, they are.
It's just extra angry, isn't it?
Yeah.
You bandit.
You pure bandit.
You highwayman.
I mean, we've set the bar pretty high for emails this week, Peter. Thank you for that. On a Monday, what an email. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble if you want to get anything into us for us to read out on the show. And also, don't forget, on Wednesday, Pep Talks is back. If you've got any dilemmas or problems that you'd like us to help out with, we are at your service.
Affairs
please
of the heart, the body, the soul.
Oh. Get those into us. Right, let's talk a bit more about things further up the table because we've done the relegation picture. Spurs.
For a bit. further up the table for a bit.
Spurs.
Oh, I just keep
three
saying
league
it.
Games.
You just keep saying that.
Three league games in a row they have lost now. They lost 2-0 to Wolves. We've spoken a lot about Wolves lately and how organised and like just good that they've been.
On Wolf-like.
You know, they've been just one of the little surprise packages of the season under Bruno Lage. So congrats to them on another win. Jimenez and Dendonka on the score sheet. Both goals scored nice and early and it pretty much just absolutely ruined Tottenham, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, well, they were really a bit sloppy, weren't they, with those, well, very sloppy with both of those goals.
Lloris and just had a bit of a mare, didn't he?
He did, a bit of bad
luck.
Ben Davies
also has
well.
That in him.
But they had time to try and turn that around. But the thing is, Wolves really know what they're doing, don't they? They don't concede many goals. It's very, very hard to score a goal against them. And they are quietly having a season that might well turn into their best in the Premier League. And they finished seventh a few times under Nuno, didn't they? So the transition has been brilliant.
If they could get some more goals on their side, they could be a real force.
Totally.
They just need a bit of a run where all of their strikers score. So.
Well, Jimenez just hasn't been scoring since he's returned from that injury, has he? And so great to see him back on the score sheet. And as you say, Pete, if they get some more goals in their side, I mean, they could actually genuinely be an outside shout for top four.
Absolutely.
Outside shout.
Well, they're 2 points behind Arsenal. Arsenal have a game in hand on them as well, but Arsenal and Wolves play each other next week, so it's really tight in there. So, you know, as you say, if they can add some goals, then they're going to be in that conversation for
sure.
Is
that why Arsenal celebrated like they won the league against Wolves last week?
we celebrated like we got 3 points after having a man sent off late on. So
again. But for Tottenham though, what's going on there? I mean, look, they were missing. They're big defender, Eric Dier.
They really are, though.
I mean, they genuinely are, which just sounds crazy to say that. But I think they did a stat on Match of the Day last night, if anyone watched it, where I think without Dier, Højbjerg and someone else in the team, couldn't have been Winks. Maybe it was, I don't know. But without those three in the side, they concede every game.
Right.
With them in the team, they keep clean sheets. They just don't concede goals. So
Bentancur was decent, but he was the best of a bad bunch, you would probably say. And Spurs don't create a lot of quality chances, but the chances they do create, they have to finish. And they had their chances, I think. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I can't imagine Conte will stand for this very much longer. But
well, that's it.
Just a lot of individual mistakes that just need to not be in their game.
They've got Man City next, as we touched on earlier. So that's obviously
after that one.
Not,
then,
not ideal, is it? But yeah, I think this is the thing, isn't it? Conte will force those players to stop making those mistakes. Surely you get shouted at so much, you're having nightmares about mistakes.
Maybe that makes you have mistakes, though.
Maybe
from players that I've worked with that have played under him, they said he's frightening.
Yeah.
Frightening when you're on the back of a defeat. And it's the first time since 2009 that Antonio Conte has lost three league matches in a row. And we've seen his reactions at the end of defeats. He's not the sort of manager that ever really blames specific players, is he?
No.
What we've seen of him at Tottenham so far is that he continually talks about the gulf in quality and the fact that they're a long way off. And it was a similar thing. Once again, after this defeat, he said, a winning mentality, in my opinion, means that when you play, I'm ready to kill you to live. That is the difference. And he said, you know, these players need to become killers. I mean, it's a bit far.
This match,
a little bit much.
These three matches where they've not played very well. It's like a horror trilogy.
But, you know, he said there's a long path in front of us and they've got a long way to go. It does feel like this Tottenham side, I mean, particularly the defence, just... What is it?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
There's no identity to it, I don't think.
But also, I mean, maybe I wasn't watching closely enough, but there didn't seem to be any indication before this run of games that they would just sort of drop off so dramatically. I mean, losing to Chelsea, there's not really much shame in that.
Yeah.
But the Southampton game was a bit silly, essentially, wasn't it? I think maybe it rocked their confidence. I guess it's a confidence game, isn't it? And that is one thing they're going to have to fix if they're still being rocked to a point from a you know, not unreasonable defeat where you might then go on a run of games where you don't show the best of yourself. That is going to cost you come the end of the season.
What did impress me about Tottenham though was Antonio Conte's hair. He was wearing a cap during the game, and then when he did his post match interview, his hair wasn't just completely impeccable.
Oh, do you reckon he went and
he would
give it a little zhuzh up?
If I wear a cap or a hat of any kind and I take it off, I've got hat hair.
Yeah, what's that like?
We didn't even have hat hair.
I just have loads of like static in my hair. My hair goes all flat.
I think though, if you're Antonio Conte and your hair's messed up, you just go into the nearest room with a mirror, look at that mirror, stare at it intensely, and the hair just sort of sorts itself out from fear.
Apart from the Ben Davies or Harry Winks hair follicles.
How is a man with such beautiful blue eyes so frightening when he stares at you?
It's because he's staring directly into your soul, isn't it?
Probably.
He sees more than just what's in front of him.
So true. Well, look, it's a kind of curious situation, I think, with Spurs, because I feel like, for me, at the end of the January transfer window, I would have had Spurs as my favourites to get into the top four. Because of, I mean, they didn't do loads of business, but...
The business they did was good, though.
The business they did was good. And when you looked at the other teams around them, they basically did fuck all. So, do you know what I mean?
And they've got an amazing manager. And that's the bottom line.
So it does seem a little bit odd now that they've sort of just fallen away. But I think that fight for top four is going to go right to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And West Ham saving a point in the last minute of their game at the King Power Stadium yesterday. It finished a 2-2 draw with Leicester. Was kind of... all part of that as well, because they are putting in a real fight to get that fourth spot. It's no surprise on both ends of that equaliser for West Ham, because West Ham have been really good from set pieces. Leicester have been absolutely appalling from set pieces. That's their 14th they've conceded in the league this season, which is the worst in the division. No surprise there. And that's not including penalties, by the way.
Right.
It was a bit of a controversial one. What did you think? It was a handball or not? I personally think that it's a bit of a grey area. The fact that they changed this rule that it's the t-shirt line.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens if it hits the edge of the t-shirt line?
It's a funny one, isn't it?
Which is kind of what it was on Dawson.
Like, it is the rule, so it is a goal, but it is one of those weird ones where it's like, that is a person's arm.
they can't remove that.
And also, but if you wear an extra large t-shirt, the sleeve is going to be longer.
Yeah.
Could you wear shoulder pads with like big fists on them?
That would actually make your shirt higher, the sleeve.
True.
Yeah,
so
ride it up a bit
more. You wouldn't
want
to do that. Maybe if you've got broader shoulders, you're at a disadvantage.
Or maybe clubs will start sewing them in, like sort of 80s power suit kind of.
But what about like players with the absolute massive guns? You know what I mean?
Traore.
All baby oiled up.
Surely, for that.
Antonio, his sleeves are up on his blooming shoulder line.
Nightmare. Absolute nightmare. What are you doing? It's all about marginal gains. Pull them shirt sleeves down, for crying out loud. But I mean, Leicester, once again, you know, we talked at length, or the team talked at length on Friday about them, but like, they just play this really high line with very slow defenders, and you're like, you either need to get the defenders off the treatment table that are able to play in this system, or you're gonna concede more than the 62 goals you've already conceded this season, which is an insane amount of goals.
You also, I mean, maybe it's a bit of a reductive way to look at it, but you have to think where there's a situation where you are really, really sloppy like that from set pieces. There is some sort of systemic problem there, where you know that is something that surely every team practices on the training ground. That everyone should know what their jobs are in that situation. It is part of the bread and butter, really, isn't it? So something is obviously clearly wrong in terms of how everything's being communicated and how that squad is responding to the tactics, if they are getting the basics as wrong as that.
They've been trying, though. This is the thing, is it's not as if Brendan Rodgers, it's so obvious that set pieces have been a problem, and they have been trying to change it. They've gone from man marking to zonal marking. It's still not made a difference. They're still continuing to concede from set pieces. And I've spoken to a few defenders that I've worked with at the Premier League over the last few weeks about Leicester, and they've actually said to me that when you're in a team and set pieces become such an issue mentally, they've said to me, it just gets in your head. You almost like that, because you know everyone's talking about the fact that you keep conceding from set pieces.
Yeah.
You instantly, as soon as there's a corner or a free kick, you think, oh shit, like now we're going to have to defend this one. And what if this goes in? We're going to get hammered.
And presumably opposing teams decide to sort of go down a bit more easily, because 100%. You're like, well, if we win a free kick, we've always got a goal, because we're in their heads then, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's probably more of a mental issue now. It's become more of a mental issue. And that's a harder thing to fix for Brendan Rodgers and his coaching staff. Because if they've tried zonal and they've tried man marking, what else can they try? Do you know what I mean? They've just got to like keep drumming it into them. And I think once they get through a couple of games where they maybe keep clean sheets and defend a few set pieces, it'll get a bit easier. But it does help having a consistent back line. And that's something that Leicester haven't had this season either. There's injuries left, right and centre. James Justin went off again, which is so disappointing, because he was, Leicester's player of the season a couple of years ago. And then he got that in, it was last year before he picked up that injury. He was in the England squad and whatnot. And it was just such a shame to see him go off injured after he's just returned. So I do feel for Leicester a bit. They looked slightly better with Youri Tielemans and Ndidi back in midfield, where Ndidi should be playing, not in defence. And Tielemans back starting makes sense, but that situation with him is just odd. It just seems a bizarre situation.
It feels like
at Leicester,
it's all sort of falling apart a little bit, doesn't it? You wonder. You wonder if Brendy will be around for too long.
That's been a rumour for a while, hasn't it? That he's been, well, he was linked with Manchester United. Now he's being linked with them again. Apparently, he's just bought a property in Cheshire, 13 miles away from Old Trafford. Any coincidence to that?
Is it the Super Road in Wingy?
You're only there once a week, so aren't you? Maximum.
Just bought a house. Do you need
anything? House up this way.
Let me know.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a bit of a commute to Leicester from there, isn't it?
Well, clearly he's going to take over at Old Trafford then, isn't
he? He's moving in there. The thing is there's been questions over whether the... Look, I think he's done wonderful things at Leicester. I mean, winning them the FA Cup, which is a trophy they hadn't won before, is just amazing. And that amongst other things. But there's been talks that because of the way this season has gone, that his stock has fallen ever so slightly. And would he be the right fit for Man United now?
Well, the problem is that this isn't the first time this has happened, is it? I mean, obviously it was very different at Celtic, and he dominated, and that shouldn't be taken for granted. But it is kind of a different situation. It's happened at Liverpool, didn't it? You know, they promised a lot, and it just fell away. And like, is that what Man United need now? I'd be very genuinely very surprised if they went for him. And this house is almost certainly just a coincidence, isn't it?
I wouldn't put him on a long contract.
No,
because he does gas out after a couple of seasons.
But he must be so frustrated by what he's getting from his squad at the moment, because no one's going to be more aware of that than him, and no one's going to be more frustrated by that than him. So it does look a little bit like downed tools is the wrong word, but there's clearly some just
they've misplaced
they look a
their
bit
tools.
Chaotic, don't they?
As for Man United, I mean, they need some stability and something steady. I think that's what they've actually probably been missing for a long time. It's like you look at their last three managers, I think, have all been actually initially appointed as interims.
Yeah.
Ralph Rangnick until the end of the season, Michael Carrick, if that counts. And then Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was initially gave the job as just an interim basis. And
one of the richest clubs in the world.
Yeah, it's
just no plan, is it?
Another one-all draw at the weekend against Southampton. It's the third game in a row where they're actually leading 1-0 at half-time and end up drawing the game.
Yeah.
It's just all over the shop there. And I think actually the biggest thing they're missing is actually just some long-term stability. Yeah. They haven't had it for such a long time. And I wonder whether if these Brendan Rodgers rumours are true and that is where they end up going this summer, maybe they just need something like that, someone that's actually going to stick around.
But what they need is just something new and different, isn't it? Essentially, they're trying to remold their identity in a way that is, you know, very few clubs have ever been in a situation where you come off a legacy as successful as Sir Alex Ferguson's. It's whenever it's happened, it's always been difficult for people to replace. And it feels like that's still echoing, doesn't it? Like a lot, like the last time,
a long shadow.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2013, was it, that he retired? So, I mean, it's a long, long time ago, but it still feels like, you know, we're waiting for Man United to feel like themselves again.
But the second goal,
I don't know where you start on reinstating that, because they've tried ex-players and they tried Mourinho, sort of a guaranteed trophy winner, but, you know, for various reasons, it didn't really work out in the way they'd hope.
Well, look, I mean, like, when you look at the second goal, the Southampton equaliser, it was just embarrassing how little Manchester United pressed that ball, and they just sort of waltzed through them. It's just pretty awful.
And actually, it wasn't the only opportunity Southampton had. I actually thought they were, like, really good in that second half, Saints, and could have gone on to win the game. So it's a bizarre situation, isn't it? I feel like it's part of the reason why Cristiano Ronaldo was brought in this summer, was actually to have that leadership that they've missed for a long time, to have that kind of, I guess, would you say stability with him? Maybe because he was at the club before for a long time and he's a legend. But they just don't seem to have, it hasn't worked.
Well, you expect kind of, he had a good time in Italy, you would say, but, you know, as discussed, it's a slower league. There's less pressure there. But the one thing Ronaldo always had was dedication, even when his body's failing, even when he hasn't got quite that pace. And he's certainly, I think, his second bottom in the league for pressing and stuff. So, like, he's clearly not the player that he was, but even his head's gone now. And that was the one thing you kind of had with him. No matter where his body was at, his dedication to the cause was just second to none. And now he's just spitting the dummy out all the time. And it's not great to see.
It's funny. It felt like it could have gone one or two ways, couldn't it, when he joined? Because, I mean, they finished second last season. It's really easy to forget that. And it looked like, actually, you know, I mean, they finished a significant way behind Man City, but you thought, can they kick on? And if they add goals, and Ronaldo guarantees goals, Sancho looked like something that would really, really help as well. Varane, I mean, at the start of the season, you could be forgiven for thinking they might even challenge here, but they're nowhere near it. Absolutely nowhere near it. And again, all of those signings on paper make so much sense in terms of improving the team, and they haven't. It's like they're on a, it's like they're sort of walking up like a slippery hill. I don't know what you do about that.
Can't wait for Neil Mope to score against Man United tomorrow night. knowing Mope as well, he'll go to the corner flag and do a shoo.
Yeah. I think actually they that's part of the problem Man United have, isn't it? It's like, it's similar to how it is with Arsenal as well. You get into this cycle sometimes. If you're a club where your status has slipped a little bit, the reality of how you're performing in the league is that maybe you are around fifth or sixth or wherever, perhaps even in the mid-table. So the bare facts of it are that that's the level that you're at. So you are going to lose a game here, draw a game here that is, that Man City or Liverpool aren't. Mm. But your scalp is the same to the teams that have beaten you or that have got that point. So it seems like a big deal and it seems like a crisis and it just becomes self-perpetuating.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. And they're obviously going to be back in Champions League action next week. It's not this week, their game. But that'll be interesting to see. Meanwhile, outside of the Premier League, Chelsea would, win another trophy.
Yeah.
Just cracking on winning the Club World Cup. It's the final piece of silverware in the Roman Abramovich puzzle, I think you can say.
Yeah.
He's basically, since he's taken over at Chelsea, they have won every single trophy possible to them. That is quite phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Azpilicueta, as their captain, has lifted every single one of those. As a player, that is quite remarkable to say you've won everything. That's nuts, isn't it?
It really, really is.
Is John Terry going to put it on the NFT? get in trouble for it. But it was... they've only got the... in the club shop, they've only got the shirts with the... with the badge,
Have they really?
World Club Cup winning badges is nice. But I mean, I thought I very much enjoyed Azpilicueta pretending to take the penalty, to take the pressure off Kai a little bit. I thought it was a lovely touch. Yeah. Proper good stuff.
I do. He's probably one of my favourite players to interview, old Aspie.
Yeah.
He's such a nice bloke.
Nice.
Top bloke, Dave. Thomas Tuchel managed to make it out there as well for it in the end. He had all these troubles, didn't he? Kept testing positive for COVID, even though he'd sort of gone past the isolation period and stuff.
Yeah.
He was getting frustrated, but he managed to get out there in time. And he said, everyone is now jealous of Chelsea. Are we all jealous?
Oh, we were jealous of Chelsea anyway, weren't we?
Was he getting the swab for the test, just waving it at his face? And he's got your mouth. No, I'm fine, actually.
You're going to be brought back down to earth when they come back to the Premier League and start drawing against Brighton.
Mope going to score in that one as well.
Already has.
Well, Pulisic might have found his position behind the striker in the middle. That was an interesting little change. He looked all right there, I thought.
Yeah, it does feel like Chelsea are still a work in progress, which is mad, given they're the European and now world champions. But you do feel there's more to come from this team as well, which is really annoying, actually.
Yeah, they've not been at their best at all this season, which is amazing considering where they are, and they're still hanging on to that third spot in the Premier League. And they'll be back in action this weekend against Crystal Palace. Right, that is all from us today. You go off and enjoy it. What are you doing for Valentine's Day, Jim?
Just don't know.
It's just a normal day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's just all made up by the greeting card industry, isn't it? Blah, blah, et cetera. I'm one of those people.
There's Valentine's
really
Day
joyless.
On the 14th in Japan, where men get given, I guess back in the day, men get women, get women by men.
Women
by men presents. And then on White Day a month later, so the 14th of March, men have to return the favour. And then a month after that, in Korea, there's a thing called Black Day, where lonely singletons go to restaurants and eat black noodles. And remonstrate about their unlucky love life.
No.
Why is there a 3-month period where you have to think about that?
I think we should celebrate black noodles every...
Goth noodles.
So depressing.
Cool. What have we got against noodles?
I think one of the worst things about Valentine's Day is set menus. No one wants to eat a fucking set menu. I'm sorry. Just give me the normal fucking menu.
Just limited choice. Can you not just go off?
I don't want to pick from 2 starters and 3 mains.
Yeah.
Why don't you give me a whole fucking menu? I'm very angry about this.
We went from here last week. I can't be asked for 14th celebrations. Rubbish. Load of rubbish.
Oh, right. Should we go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, boys. Thanks to you guys for listening as well to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Tomorrow, Marcus Vish and Luke are here. Make sure you join them then. Bye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.